Today I want to talk to you about not just a change, but a transformation. We hear a lot about change, and we have to. The only way to mature and grow and get from our present level of glory to a higher level is to be open to change. But God has much more in mind for His people right now than simply change. The will of God is that we be transformed into His image. Let me begin by telling you something that was not noticed very much, even though it was a huge event, and it happened this past week. In fact, it happened this past Tuesday morning. And it wasn't carried on the news. There's so much other stuff more important than this, you would think, for the news. What happened this past Tuesday morning was not celebrated. It was barely even mentioned. But it happened Tuesday morning at precisely 9:31 a.m., and the event that occurred this past Tuesday morning at 9:31 a.m. will affect all of us. And the activities we do, the clothes we wear, and often the mood we're in. What happened this past Tuesday morning at 9:31 is the seasons changed. It happened at that moment. Although it didn't immediately get our attention, the temperature was about the same as it was the day before. It was not gripping in its approach. In fact, it sort of tiptoed into our lives, and we could look back at this past Tuesday morning and call it uneventful, but the changing of a season is always a huge event. Sometimes seasons change and we know it immediately. Sometimes news will come by phone call or in person and announce something that will immediately force a life change in us. But not so this past Tuesday morning. The closure of summer occurred, and the beginning, the birthing of a new season, autumn, began at 9:31 a.m. Tuesday morning. And now, because of the change of seasons, the days are getting shorter. We're in a time right now where the days are getting shorter. It calls to mind the scripture that says, "Work while it is day, because the night is coming when no man can work." But right now, this week, at the beginning of a new season, our days are being shortened by 2 minutes each day. And that will continue well into this new season. Now, God has a reason for every season. We need to be aware that we're in a new season in more ways than one. We simply are being required to change, and we are creatures of habit. We don't like it that much. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven." And we need an understanding of what we must do during each season. You know, your assignment can change from season to season. Now, since we are creatures of habit, we resist change. I'm the worst, I have to admit it. I mean, simple little things. I would just rather keep the old and not forge into new territory. I have a charge cord in my car for my cell phone. And for the last two or three years, it's barely hanging on. I've taken black tape and tried to heal it a little bit, put a Band-Aid on it, literally. You know, even Terry Tripp, when he was here 2 years ago, riding in my car, he saw I plugged my phone into charge in the car, and he saw that worn-out cord about this long with the tape holding it together. He said, "Carl, get a new cord already." But I just don't want to change cords. Isn't that pitiful? It's finally gotten so bad. Brenda went online this past week and found me one for $3, and it's on the way here, free shipping. I mean, what took me so long to change such a simple thing? And I know I'm the worst. I'm admitting it. I know you can't be as bad as I do. But when I go to a restaurant, and I don't do that much recently, but when I used to go to a restaurant a lot, I would order the same thing I had the last time. Instead of experimenting and try what the chef recommends or the server, no, if I'm in a Mexican restaurant, I tell them, "Yo quiero lo mismo que comida la semana pasada." And this is for our... Did I do it okay? Okay. Want the same thing now I had last week. Creatures of habit and resisting change. And one reason we do is because it forces us out of our comfort zone, and we're not sure of the outcome. You get on a new journey, you begin a new season, you're not exactly sure where it's going to take you. And sometimes fear will paralyze us and handicap us and keep us from changing with the new season. Now, some of us are hard to let go of things from the past, and there is a requirement to let go before we can reach forward and grab a hold of a new thing. But there's a verse of Scripture that will bring good news to those of you who are facing change and are resisting it because you're afraid of what the outcome in this new season might be. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. It says, "For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious." Now, that's a good word in a pandemic. That's a good word in this economy. That's a good word at my house and at your house. The past, as good as it was, and God was good back then, right up to this moment, God's always been good. But as good as God has been, and as glorious as what is passing away has been, what remains yet to come, the Bible says, is much more glorious. So let's face a new season with great hope and strong faith in the promise right here in this verse of Scripture. You know, if we're going to do anything, we've got to be open to change. Noah was given an assignment in a new season of his life, but Noah could not continue life as he had always known it and build the ark in that season. Moses could not stay in hiding on the backside of the desert and become the leader of Israel. He had to change. David, as much as he loved his sheep, and we know how much he did, he risked his own life to protect them. But as much as he loved the sheep, in order to become king of Israel, he had to leave and go to a new place. Then there was Peter, James, and John. They had to close up shop on their lucrative fishing business when an assignment was given in a new season so that they could become disciples of Jesus. And then even in the Old Testament, again, Elisha was the one who succeeded Elijah, the great prophet of his day. And that began when Elijah, the great prophet, walked by Elisha and saw him farming with his equipment on his land and offered him a new assignment to follow him. And the Bible says that Elisha had to leave his career as a farmer and just to be sure he would burn bridges and never be tempted to go back, he killed his 24 oxen and offered them as a sacrifice, and he burned his farm equipment. Some of us need to burn some old equipment because it's a new season and we don't need to be tempted to go backward. As glorious as what was back there was, what's ahead for us remaining is much more glorious. And then Matthew, the tax collector, the mafia of his day, a corrupt tax collector. He took what he wanted from everybody, put it in his own pockets. And I call that a lucrative career. But he saw a window of opportunity and an assignment was offered. He knew immediately, everything in my life can change. And he only heard two words. Some of us perhaps need to hear these same two words. Can you imagine a man who's filthy rich because this is his business? He's got it all together. And yet you hear two words. Two words that change the season of your life and cause you to close up shop and go out of your business, give up everything for a new life and a new season and a new assignment. And the two words he heard were the words Jesus spoke. Simply, follow me. Follow me. My God, the power in his word. How powerful it must have been for Matthew, a corrupt, evil businessman, to immediately, after hearing two words, honestly, I'm just being real. If you expect me to change much, I'm going to need more than two words. Unless I hear Jesus say two words. And when Matthew heard him say, follow me. That was it. He was ready to go with a new season and a new assignment. As good as the past had been for him, albeit corrupt, he laid it all down and embraced a new season. Now, every time closure comes to one season and another season begins, like it did this past Tuesday morning at 9:31 a.m., change is required. Your assignment changes sometimes with the new season. And when it comes to change, sometimes we don't have a choice, but we always have the grace. God's people have a good track record of his grace on us during times of change. Moses led the children of Israel. It was a pivotal time in their history. They had been set free from Pharaoh's bondage and slavery, and they had a wilderness to get through. That was a lengthy season. And Moses was their leader that brought them through it. But then, when they were used to it, here they're used to Moses. They're used to a man who could hear from God, go to the top of the mountain for them, and come down with the written word of God in his hand. They had developed a mindset of, okay, we're going to stay here, and you go up there and hear from God and come back and tell us what he said. He did. The Ten Commandments. They were used to a leader, a man who could stretch his rod across the sea, and God would honor that act of obedience by parting the waters, and the people of God were able to escape an enemy that was out to kill them and getting closer by the minute. They were used to being thirsty and watching Moses stretched forth his rod, and one time he smacked the rock, but pure water coming from solid rock. They were used to 40 years of God feeding them without any effort on their part, every morning and every morning for 40 years. Manna would be provided for them. All they could eat all day long, and tomorrow it would happen again. This went on for 40 years. But the day came when God spoke again, and the seasons changed for the people of God. And God spoke to a new man, Joshua. And God confirmed what was obvious to everybody. God simply said, Moses is dead. Moses is dead. And he issued new orders for a new generation, told Joshua, now is the time for you to arise and perform, to take the leadership. Now, can you imagine the day after 40 years, God's people so used to that season and as good as it was, and God had been good? Imagine how the children of Israel felt the day the manna stopped. Sometimes God will bless you through a certain resource for a season of time. And the longer that season is, the easier it is to become dependent on the resource, that particular resource. And then the day may come when that resource dries up and God changes a season in your life, and you can't stay there and die. You have to change and move on with God. The day the manna stopped as a provision for the people of God, God was saying, changing more than just your diet. Listen, the rhythm of their lifestyle changed. Some of us are there right now. The rhythm of our lifestyle is changing. It stopped on a dime about 6 months ago for the whole world, especially our nation. Everything that was normal and rhythmic and routine stopped instantly. It gave the church an opportunity to reset. I've already told you what happened to me. The first thing was thankfulness. I mean, I was so aware I have more to be thankful for than I've been thanking God. Oh, Lord, thank you. I took that for granted, and now it's gone, and I miss it, and I should have been more thankful because what a blessing it was, and please bring it back, please. Simple things like fellowshipping before and after services and milling around in the foyer, drinking our coffee and water before service starts. Little things I'd always just taken advantage of and taken it for granted. Oh, God, I'm so thankful. I realize how blessed I am. I've got so much to be thankful for. Then the second assignment for me in this pandemic season was be still and know. We couldn't move much anyway. Might as well be still and know that if you got to be still and know that I am God. Take advantage of that. Don't just be still if you're self-isolating and in quarantine and you can't move around. Don't just sit there and be still while you're sitting there. Be still and know that He is God. It was sort of like one day this past week, I went all day, well into the day, without eating. And I realized, well, if I had known this morning when I got up I was going to go all day without eating, I would have declared a fast this morning and gotten a little benefit out of it. So if you're going to be still, and sometimes God requires it, be still and know. But the children of Israel had the rhythm of their lifestyle changed, and it happened like this. It went from God providing manna, they were used to every day for 40 years to. Now they're in the promised land, and they had to learn a new pattern of planting and harvesting. And God's still going to meet their need, but going to do it in a different way. God has always met our need. He did it in every previous season, and he's going to do it in this season. And as good as he was at meeting our needs in the former season, what lies ahead for us is going to be much more glorious than anything. He always saves his best for last. Now, but in the new season, they had to get used to Joshua and not Moses. They had to develop the skill. Hello, in a new season, you might need a new skill, or you might need to sharpen and hone the skill you already have. We're doing that. You're doing that. And in a new season, they had giants to face. And those among the church, or the children of Israel as it was, those that were driven by fear in a new season. I'm talking to somebody, I don't know, but I just felt right then like I'm talking to one person. In the new season, the people of God that were driven by fear said this: those giants will eat us for lunch. But in a new season, God's people who were driven by faith looked at the same giants and says, we are well able, let's go in at once. Same season, different perspectives. Change being required of everybody, but different perspectives. By the way, because we are spiritual beings, I love this. It just brings me back to where I need to be sometimes, this statement. We are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. And one of our superpowers as a spiritual being is this: whatever we look at becomes bigger, greater, stronger, more powerful. Whatever we look at. As a spiritual being, that's our superpower. If you look at your problem, it can get bigger and stronger and greater and more powerful, and it'll move you and your mindset from faith to believe God can get me through to a place of, oh, that giant is so large, I can't wrestle with that because it will eat me for lunch. But because we are spiritual beings and our superpower is whatever we look at gets greater, bigger, larger, more powerful, if you look at God, just focus on God, he will get stronger in your life, more powerful in your life. He will become greater in your life. So be sure you're looking at the right thing, and be sure you're looking through the right lens. I'm getting to that right now. Question: how does God prefer to affect change in us? Now, you know he does. He gives us the Holy Spirit, and the job description of the Holy Spirit is to reproduce the life of Christ in us. So you know God wants us to change. He's committed to our changing. Not just to change when God's finished with us. He wants us to have a transformation. And how does God prefer to change us? It's found in Romans 12 and 2. It says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, and now it tells you how, by the renewing of your mind. that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Transformation by the renewing of our mind. Now, it almost seems oversimplified just in those few words. Be transformed. That means metamorphosis. That's the difference between an ugly caterpillar and a tight, ugly cocoon and a beautiful butterfly flying around. A metamorphosis. Hey, if your life is ugly and you've been in a tight place and nobody's thought much of you other than you're a worm that has no future, the will of God for you is to have a metamorphosis, to be transformed. You would think, oh, well, I've got to go into a chamber and they've got to turn the heat up 4,000 degrees. And no. God prefers to change us by renewing our mind. Not just a change, but a transformation. I'm a firm believer on this because it's in the Word. Not only does God want to get into our heart, God wants to get inside our head. Or let's say you're born again. Jesus is in your heart. You know the Sunday school terminology. Regeneration, the new birth, born again, the free gift of eternal life. Let's say you've had that experience. And then after a while, you've been through some seasons. You've not weathered some storms as well as you thought you should have. And now you're in a hard place. Wouldn't it be nice if that's you? Wouldn't it be nice if you could just get saved again? Well, you can't. You can't. If you've ever had an experience being born again and your life is in a mess right now, and many of us believers know what it is to have a life in a mess, even though we are born again. You can't be saved again, but what you can do is be transformed by renewing your mind. Let God get involved inside your head like you already have allowed Him to get involved in your heart. Our heart is changed by the Spirit, but our mind is changed by the Word. The benefits of a well-trained mind. Now, in this new season, we need to be renewed. We need to be renewed in our mind, meaning anything we think that does not agree with the way God thinks, we need to replace that, do away with that in this new season, and replace it with what God thinks about it in this new season. The benefits of a well-trained mind. I have prayed this a lot when I haven't thought of anything else to pray. And I don't know about you, I pray in the car, you know, when it's just me and God. Sometimes I'll turn the music down. And me and the Lord will talk. And sometimes when I don't have an urgent need in prayer, I'll just simply say, Lord, change my mind about everything you and I don't already agree with. Just go ahead and change my mind about everything you and I don't already agree with. And the changing of a mind, the pulling down of a wrong mindset, and the establishing of a new mindset according to the Word of God. It's a paradigm shift. It's a sudden change in perspective, perception, and point of view. And here's the truth about the new season. Many times, seasons will change, and we are faced with a decision to be retrained are replaced. retrained or replaced. It's getting worse. If you didn't like that, you're really not going to like this one right here. Now. After retrained or replaced, which one will it be? I'll just say this. If you don't change, if I don't change, we will die. Change or die? Well, no, I'd believe it now if you had a scripture. Well, okay. Put this one up. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Paul said, but let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. That's how important renewing our mind is. Thinking the way God thinks about this new season. Now, we all like the old better than the new. But a lot of good comes from our being submissive to the Holy Spirit as He brings closure to one season of our life and gives birth to a new season in our life. Even though we want to hold on to the old. On a personal note, Brenda's father passed away a little over a year ago. This past week made a year. And the home he had lived in, well, the home he grew up in and had lived in again for the last 20 years of his life, was filled with stuff from his life. And he never threw anything away, even a coffee cup, a styrofoam cup from Hardee's. In 1999, February, he had written in February 1999 and taped it to a coffee cup and put it on the shelf. Well, if you knew him, you'd appreciate that. But furniture that was old and beyond antique. And we had to go through the house. We took our time and get rid of a lot. Every piece we let go of, we mourned a little bit. And there was the couch, and it was a cloth couch, and Brenda's mother on that very sofa over 20 years ago was stricken, a blood clot burst on the brain, and she went from that spot on that couch by ambulance to a hospital and from there to heaven, and here's the couch. And you hated to throw it away. And so to lighten the moment, I told Brenda, well, we have to throw it away. I mean, we can't keep it, we can't store it, especially as it has been. The Smithsonian doesn't want it. So we had to throw some things away. We had to let go of some things that represented a former season and trust God that what lies ahead will be even much more glorious. Now would be a good time to shout amen in here. Amen. Do it out loud so the people can hear you.
Amen.
Then just for that, I'm going to cut my sermon a little shorter. Just for y'all helping me out right there. I like that. We will not all die. But one thing's for sure, we will all be changed. Not just a change, but a transformation. All right, let me read. Oh my. I'll tell you, I'll just read it off the screen. Luke chapter 5 and verse 37. Very familiar verse of Scripture. And we'll close with these three verses, maybe. Talking about change, the new thing God has for us in this new season, and are we capable of receiving it and handling it and protecting it and being good stewards of it? Because God's not going to waste anything good on us in this new season. Jesus said, and no one puts new wine, that's the new thing God has for us, into old wineskins. Or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine, listen, this new thing God has for us must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. But now listen to this. No one, having drunk old wine, immediately desires the new. For he says the old is better. That's human nature. That's a creature of habit. Oh, as good as that new thing looks, oh, I could only imagine if that was for me, as good as it looks, oh, how exciting. I'm not quick to lay my hand on it because the old was so good. I'm familiar with the old. I'm comfortable with the old. I've proven I can handle the old masterfully. But God cuts the supply off at that point unless we're willing to change, not just a change, but a transformation into a new wineskin. Then God says, okay, that person is ready for my new thing in this new season. Now, we've seen it all, and look how quickly the world has changed. Morse code, snail mail, watches we used to have to wind. Every night we had to. Beepers. I've not heard a beeper go off in 30 years. But it was the new thing in its day. 8-tracks, cassette tapes, not to mention the vinyl. What about this? Didn't we just go crazy when we first got at our house dial-up internet? Remember that? How great we thought that was. Would we want to go back to dial-up? No, God help us, Lord. And then remember the mats that we used to unfold and they would open up to the size of West Virginia. It would just be so big. We'd have to get outside the car to open it to find out where to go. Don't do that anymore. We have GPS. Our car talks to us, said, turn down that road right here. In 400 feet, take a left. Everything analog, which was wonderful in its day, has been replaced by digital. Landlines with cords, replaced by cell phones that are wireless. Pastor Steve in my office this morning got a text. He said, my truck just texted me and says that my check engine light is on. I mean, the world we live in and everything, regardless of how good it was in its time, is obsolete, and now we're in a new season. We need to embrace it and believe God that what lies ahead for us is greater, much more glorious than what was behind us. And then computers now have replaced pen and paper. We don't have files with paper in anymore, all digital. And strangely, I did bring it. All the information, every book that's ever been written, every newspaper, every magazine article, every research paper that you used to have to go to the library to find, all fits in a device so small that it fits in your pocket. Now, do we really want to say the old is better? The good old days were not that good. And the days ahead in this new season will be much more glorious than anything we've known. I believe that. The times and seasons have changed. I want to close with this because it's been a point of frustration for me. And since I don't have a stump to get on, and I'll be nice about it, but not just me, but every pastor friend of mine, and I think it should be a concern or a vexation or a frustration for every believer who believes God's word is during our pandemic, which we've been into now for 6 weeks, and we're surviving. I say we're surviving. But we cannot freely obey some parts of the Word of God in the same way we used to. It's a vexation. Like the Bible says, if there are any sick, lay hands on them. We can't lay hands on one another right now. I mean, according to the CDC guidelines. I'm just saying it's enough to vex up a spirit-filled believer. People sick, you know, we can't even go to the hospital to visit the sick. We do no entertaining in homes. I mean, this thing of hugging and shaking hands, and, you know, we're in a season. I'm going to call this I'm going to call another change in seasons before long to where we can get back to some normalcy. But the Word of God teaches us that if there are any sick, lay hands on the... And there is a powerful principle of the laying on of hands. We can't do that. So then I got to thinking. Brian helped me out with this. Thank you, Brian. We got other options. And we're going to get through this season. We're going to get back to laying hands all over you if you're sick. But that wasn't the only thing the Word said. They couldn't lay hands on the sick. And so at one point, Paul, when he couldn't get to a person to lay his hands on them for them to be healed, somebody sick needs to hear it, he would send a cloth handkerchief to that person, and the sick person would receive the cloth handkerchief. Even though Paul couldn't get there, couldn't touch them, couldn't lay hands on them, just the cloth handkerchief, and many were healed that way. Well, and then in this culture, critics would say, well, but you can't share contact. If somebody touched it, you shouldn't be touching it. Well, okay then, the Word talks about that. The day came when sick people were laid out on the sidewalk and the apostle Peter walked by and just his shadow touched him would heal him. Talking about change. Talking about renewing our mind. Talking about understanding what to do and how to do it in a new season. Well, but now, unless he was over 6 feet tall, even he shouldn't get close enough for a shadow. You know what I mean? I mean, it has to be the right time of day when the sun's going down and then his shadow is maybe long, but you can't get within 6 feet. Social distancing. I'm not being disrespectful to that. I'm on board. I mean, hey, I want to stay safe and help everybody else stay healthy. I'm all for that. The Lord is for the body, and the body is for the Lord, the Bible says. But when you can't even get close enough for your shadow to fall on a sick person, then we can always do this from anywhere in the world. Story was told in the New Testament, a powerful military man with great authority and great faith came up to Jesus and said to him, Lord, I have a servant at home who's sick and needs to be healed. And Jesus said, okay, I'll come and heal him. And this servant said, in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 8, the officer said, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. So we're in a new season, not just summer turning to fall, as it did at 9:31 a.m. this past Tuesday morning. And it won't be the last time a season will change. I'll tell you, the next one's coming in December. We'll do it again. But in this new season where we're receiving new assignments and having to come better at everything we've done. And as good as the past was, much more glorious will the future be. We can't lay hands on you, maybe. Can't come to your house, maybe. Can't go see you in the hospital. Can't anoint you at all, maybe, without upsetting some government CDC guidelines. I'm not blasting them or anybody. Got to stay 6 feet away. Can't even get close enough for our shadow to fall on you like Peter's did. But here's what we can do in this season, and it's very important that we do it. You find anybody with a need, whether they're sick in body, mind, spirit, whether whatever the need might be, and we know plenty of people with plenty of needs. All of us have at least one. Some of us have multiple needs. Here's what we can do. We can speak the word right where we are. And our faith in the word of God and the power of his word can meet every need. We will speak the word. I want to do it right now, just before I close and Pastor Steve comes. I want to speak the word. I'm not in your home where you are right now, wherever you are. Many in the auditorium. I'm not going to get close to you. Out of respect for you. I mean, I don't mind. But I'm going to play by the rules. I don't want to be an agent of division or recklessness or rebellion. God help me, Jesus. I'll play by the rules, but I'm just saying to you, I may not be able to lay my hands on you. If you're sick, if you have a financial need, I may not be able to hold your hand and pray a prayer of agreement while we're in contact. But I'll tell you what all of us can do is we can speak the word right where we are. So to those who are here and those who are worshiping from home today, I speak the word of God from where I am right now. Standing on what I've always considered holy ground, I speak the word only, and it will leave my lips, and it will make it to your ears and to your house. It's already there right now. And I speak a healing word over those of you who are sick, those who are dealing with different diseases and diagnoses from the doctor that don't even sound good the first time you hear the word. I speak the word only from right where I am. Those in financial need, I don't have to come where you are. None of us do. But we can speak the word, and God will show up and minister to you and meet your needs. Regardless of whatever need you have, we know who to call on in our time of trouble. There are people whose children are drifting away from God. So some parents don't even know where their children are. They're adult children waiting for months to hear from them, wondering if they're dead or alive. I could tell you several stories. I'm just saying, whatever your burden is, I can't do much about it. I can't even come to your house, but I can speak the word from where I am. And when that man said that to Jesus, Jesus said, I have not found faith like this anywhere else in all of Israel. The man understood authority. He told Jesus, oh, I'm a man under authority. He didn't brag about I'm a man in authority. He looked at Jesus, all power, all authority, and recognized that and said, you don't need to come to my house. I know what authority is like. I too am a man under authority, just like you are, Jesus. Just speak the word only. So for every need in our Abundant Life Church family, and there are many, some I know about, many I don't. We speak the word of God from the house of God. It reaches your ears. It reaches your house right now. We call your need met in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Take this word.